हे कृष्ण श्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि पिलामिनी नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. So we have been discussing from the book Bhaktya Loka by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is a collection of 12 essays on the 6 favorable and 6 unfavorable items for bhakti according to the second and third verse of Upadeshamrita. So in which we have the 6 unfavorable items. We have completed discussing the 6 unfavorable items. Atyahara prayacha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashati. The 6 unfavorable things. So last week we started discussing about the 6 favorable things. Utsahan nishayat dairyat tattat karma pravartana sangatyagat sato vritte shadbir bhaktir prasityati. So the 6 favorable items for one's progress on the path of bhakti. The first being utsaha or enthusiasm. So last week we started discussing on this theme. So we will today continue on this theme. But before we start that, I'll request Radha Pramod Prabhu to do a recap of what we have seen, and then I will take it forward from there. Over to you, Prabhu.
हरे कृष्ण ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग भक्तलोक एसे नंबर 7 इज उत्साह एंथुसियाज्म उत्साह निश्चय धैर्य तत्तत् कर्म प्रवर्तन संग त्याग सतो वृत्ति षड्भिर् भक्ति सिद्ध्यति six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service, being enthusiastic, endeavoring with confidence, being patient, acting according to regulative principles such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting and remembering, abandoning the association of non-devotees and following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. So these 6 principles undoubtedly ensure the complete success of pure devotional service. Now the factors which can stunt enthusiasm, utsaha. So without utsaha, one can become negligent in his worship. So now negligent is born out of inactivity, apathy or indifference. Inactivity is like laziness, inertia and there is absence of desire. So here, apathy or indifference, it develops from carelessness. That is what type of carelessness? To not to have genuine care. It does not really matter much if I don't progress spiritually, or I will not lose anything tangible by not progressing in my spiritual life. So this type of attitude which causes apathy and because of which one loses enthusiasm. And then there is absence of desire to work. So absence of desire to work or work on our anarthas, working on our relationship, work on completing our services, etc. And inertia is unwilling to change oneself, not willing to go beyond one's comfort zone. And also default inertia for us who are in material world is Atma Indra Priti. We want to enjoy our senses. So to do spiritual activities always difficult. Whereas spiritual world is all about Krishna Indra Priti. So we have to take a determined vow to break this inertia. From serving our senses, we have to learn to serve Krishna's senses and devotees. Now, then how to practice, how should yoga be practiced? So, and in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tam vidya dukkha samyogam, yoginam yoga sanjitam, na sa nischena yoktavyam, yoga nirvinna chetasa. So what here Krishna is telling about enthusiasm. So he says, no no such a state separate from all miseries to be yoga. Yoga, this yoga must be practiced with definition, devoid of depression. Anirvinna chetasa means utsaha, enthusiasm. So why do we need enthusiasm? Because our endeavors will not necessarily immediately turn into success. That's why we need to have that enthusiasm. In spite of failures, we need to continue. We may endeavor with faith to progress on spiritual path, but there are forces which won't let us to progress so fast, like our conditionings, anarthas, aparadhas and all. So another thing is will of Krishna. So he wants us to do, that's why we are doing. And then why we should remain enthusiastic despite of perceived failures in the progress? Because Krishna appreciates our sincerity. Krishna is thrilled with our seemingly trivial efforts, and we may not see immediate effects, but progress may be there. Also, when Krishna sanctions, all our endeavors will be successful, and opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness is in itself a great reward. Also, I still get to associate with devotees. My guru has accepted me, and we are sanatha and no more anatha because we are accepted by guru. If we endeavor with enthusiasm, it will attract Krishna's mercy. And we value the teachings of our parampara. Since Srila Rupa Goswami says to be enthusiastic, and all the acharyas follow his teachings, we also value his teaching and we remain enthusiastic. And then there is Pratyaksha Praman. I have seen great personalities with greater setbacks, endeavor with great enthusiasm and attain great success. So seeing all these things, I will do. When Krishna knows my heart, if I am enthusiastic for Krishna's bhajan, he will reward me for that. Also, I cannot gauge the success of my endeavor by my pleasure alone, because I am not doing it for Krishna's pleasure. And when we show enthusiasm, Krishna will help remove our offenses and really make us enthusiastic. And because we have to the more worthy goal, that's why most worthy goal, that's why we should be enthusiastic. And mercy comes earlier than you deserve, but later than you expect. So if we think we deserve more, we'll always be disappointed. So we should lower our expectations. And we are enthusiastic because we are grateful. So many reasons we have to be enthusiastic. And what is the cause of indifference or lack of enthusiasm? So in his commentary on this verse, Srila Baldevidya Bhushan Mahashaya has said that, so he says that one becomes indifferent to whatever work he feels unqualified for. So the cause of indifference or lack of enthusiasm is perceiving that work to be not meant for him or not beneficial for him. So if I feel, oh, this is not helpful for me, then why I will do it? So when one feels himself qualified for a process or activity, one will actively practice it. And qualification for Jnana Yoga, detachment, achieved from purification of heart through the practice of Nishkam Karma. Qualification Karma Yoga is not disgusted with material life and have many desires to fulfill to enjoy the material world. And what is qualification Bhakti Yoga? Shraddha, faith in pure devotional service, attained through Ajnata Sukriti. So, this is what we discussed now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, bro. Thank you very much. Very nice summary. So we will continue our discussion from where we left off. But before that, some quick points that we have seen last week, because it was a fruitful session, because many devotees shared very valuable points. So we saw that he says about utsaha. He says, without utsaha, one becomes negligent in one's worship of Krishna. And he says, negligence is born out of inactivity or apathy. And what is inactivity? Inactivity means laziness and inertia. These are inactivity. So what is inertia? Inertia means unwillingness to move out of our comfort zone. The absence of desire to work, okay, which is actually opposite to the nature of spirit. Therefore, it is caused due to conditioning. This is not the nature of spirit. This is caused due to conditioning, our own conditioning. So, if one allows this inertia to remain in this body or heart, then how can one perform devotion service? And then, apathy, on the other hand, apathy comes from carelessness. So, carelessness means, it's not that great, you know, I don't know that. So, here, we saw this verse which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes from Bhagavad Gita. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samgitam sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirbhinna chetasa. So he says that one should practice yoga with determination and devoid of depression. Why devoid of depression? Because success is not guaranteed. Success depends on too many things. You know, for a normal person, we saw it depends on five things. Adishtanam tatakarta karanam chipagvida vividastra pratak cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. It depends on five things, cheshta being only one of those five. So therefore, endeavor will not necessarily transform into success. But that does not mean endeavor is not a factor at all. Especially for devotees, endeavor attracts mercy of Krishna. Our sincere endeavor attracts mercy of Krishna. Therefore, enthusiasm is very important. We cannot give up that enthusiasm. So, we did this very important exercise that why we should remain enthusiastic despite perceived failures to progress. So we did a short interaction here where devotees various reasons why enthusiasm is important in devotionals. So the first point was Krishna appreciates our sincerity. So through enthusiasm we are showing our sincerity to Krishna, and Krishna appreciates that sincerity. So therefore we should be enthusiastic. And another point was that Krishna is thrilled with our seemingly trivial efforts. Krishna is very thrilled. It may be trivial, but for Krishna it is very valuable. And another reason is that we may not see immediate effects of our endeavor, but progress may still be there. We may not have the ability to perceive the progress. We may not know what are the parameters to judge our progress, but progress may still be there. So therefore, why we lose enthusiasm? And then we may not be getting success, but when Krishna sanctions, then practically everything will be successful. And Krishna sanctions when he sees our enthusiasm. Or he may see our enthusiasm, but sanction only when he wants to sanction. So therefore, we should be enthusiastic. So then, the fifth point that we saw was opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness is in itself a great award. Why? To get a reward from our practice of devotional service is one thing, but just the opportunity to practice devotional service in itself is a great reward. So therefore, I should be very enthusiastic. Then the sixth point was, I get to devotees. In the path of Krishna consciousness, I get to associate with devotees. Therefore, I should be grateful. I should be enthusiastic. Seventh, my guru has accepted me. If my guru has accepted me, then what reason I have to not be enthusiastic? Brahmande Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. After millions of lifetimes, a particular soul who has attained a human birth may by chance come in touch with the mercy of Guru and Krishna and receive the seat of devotion. So this is one of the rarest of rare things that could happen in this material world. Having attained such a rare thing, why I should not be enthusiastic to practice? And then again, eighth point, if we endeavor with enthusiasm, it will attract Krishna's mercy. And the ninth point, we value the teachings of our parampara. Right? And all our parampara acharyas have emphasized enthusiasm. Rupa Goswami has mentioned utsaha, nischaya, dairya, and all the subsequent acharyas who have come after Srila Rupa Goswami, they have emphasized enthusiasm. And then we have also seen very great personalities who have had greater setbacks in their lives, but still they endeavored with great enthusiasm and attained great success. Shouldn't I learn from their lives? Shouldn't I be enthusiastic? They were enthusiastic even though they had greater setbacks in comparison to me. So, but they endeavored with great enthusiasm. Why shouldn't I endeavor with great enthusiasm? So, then the 11th part, 11th point that we saw was, Krishna knows my heart. Krishna knows my heart. So, if I'm enthusiastic, Krishna will know and he'll be pleased. The 12th point that we saw was, I cannot gauge the success of my endeavor by my pleasure alone. I endeavor and I don't get pleasure. Does that mean my endeavor has been unsuccessful? No. I am doing it for Krishna's pleasure and Krishna is pleased by endeavor because Krishna is Saragrahi. Because Krishna is Sarahi and he is pleased by endeavor and not by anything else. So therefore, I cannot take my own pleasure as the parameter to see whether it is successful or not. So therefore, I should be enthusiastic. So then the 13th point that we saw was, when we show our enthusiasm, Krishna will help remove our offenses. When we show our enthusiasm, Krishna will help remove our offenses. And the 14th point, we have to be enthusiastic because we have the most worthy goal, which is to attain Krishna Prem. Most worthy goal, so we have to be enthusiastic. People in this world do not have any worthy goals to aspire for. But still they are enthusiastic. So, but we have a much more worthy goal, should we be enthusiastic? And finally, the last point that we saw was, we receive mercy earlier than we deserve, but later than we expect. Which means, generally we don't perceive mercy because we think we deserve more. Our expectations are high. But we receive mercy earlier than we deserve, but later than we expect, because we always think that I deserve more. That's why we are we are unable to perceive mercy like that. So okay, before we continue, Radha Pramod Prabhu has missed one slide, so I will let him finish that slide and then we will continue on.
Sorry, bro. I just missed. So you are able to see the screen, bro?
Yes. Yes, we are able.
So what is that? So last part we are discussing about pure devotional faith. So what is the nature of pure devotional faith? So here in Bhagavatam, yat richaya mat katasu jata shraddha stu yat puman na nirvinno nati sakto bhakti yoga sa siddhata. Siddhida. So na nirvinno, not falsely detached, na ati asa, not very much attached to material existence. So a bhakti yogi is not detached like a jnani and also does not have the goal to enjoy in this material world. So they accept some material activities as a support for their spiritual awakening, but they have no attachment for such activities. So anukulya sankalpa pratikulya vajana. So the classic symptoms of a sadhaka is jata shraddho matkatasu, has awakened faith in the process of bhakti, nirvinna sarva karmashu, disgusted with varnashrama prescribed duties, veda dukhatmakam kama, understand that sense gratification leads to misery, parityagya anishvaraha, still unable to give up sense gratification. So jushamanam chattam kaman dukho darkam garhan, unable to give up sense gratification, he sincerely repents for engaging in such activity. And Krishna's instructions to such sadhaka says, tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalo dradanishya, remain happy and worship me with faith and conviction. That means prita here indicates enthusiasm. Remain enthusiastic and worship me with great faith and conviction. So, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru. Thank you very much. So, so he just summarized this point that Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan says, why would someone be indifferent to a particular activity or work? Someone would be indifferent to some work. Mirakami, it's not my work. So if one feels it's not my work, then one would lack enthusiasm to perform that particular work. So therefore, one may the lack of enthusiasm is due to lack of perceiving a particular activity to be meant for oneself. So the very fact that none of us are having any enthusiasm to perform Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, we don't have any enthusiasm to even study those books, even though those books are available. But we are interested only in studying books talking about devotional service, Bhakti Yoga. We are interested in associating only with devotees, not with Jnana Yogis, Ashtanga Yogis, Karma Yogis, etc. And we are interested only in practicing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, etc. Not in performing Karma Yoga, limbs of Karma Yoga, limbs of Jnana Yoga, limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, etc. Why? Because we perceive our qualification to be bhakti. We perceive our qualification to be bhakti, that's why. But if we perceive that we are qualified for jnana or karma, then we would enthusiastically pursue the other paths. The very fact that we are enthusiastically pursuing association of devotees, we are enthusiastically pursuing practice of the They are enthusiastically pursuing study of the books which glorify Bhakti Yoga. In itself shows that we have a conviction that we are qualified for. We have a conviction that we are qualified for bhakti. So that is the point. So what is the qualification? We may, within that we may lack enthusiasm, we may have less enthusiasm, but still that enthusiasm would be more than our enthusiasm to practice, you can say, karma or jnana or yoga. We may have less enthusiasm to practice bhakti, but definitely but still it would be more enthusiasm compared to pursuing karma, jnana or yoga. That shows that we have qualification for bhakti only. Right? But someone may say, but Prabhu, I have more enthusiasm for sense gratification than bhakti. So does it mean I am qualified not for bhakti, but I am qualified for sense gratification only? So this is where Krishna clarifies this qualification for bhakti. He says that jata shraddho matkatasu nirvinna sarvakarmasu veda dukkatmakam kaman parityage apyanishwarah jushamanascha tan kaman dukkodarkamscha garhayan. So he says, have you awakened faith in the process of bhakti? Well, I guess so, because I'm endeavoring to perform bhakti. I'm endeavoring to associate with devotees. I'm endeavoring to study the books. Nirvinna sarvakarmasu. Do you think, how enthusiastically are you pursuing study of karma yoga books and performing your varnashram duties? Well, I don't even know what books they study. In fact, I don't even know what my varna is exactly. And I have never bothered to know exactly, you know, what are the activities I need to perform according to my varna. Well, and also I never thought that I should perform an occupation which should be exactly according to my varna. So it looks like, you know, I have no interest in performing my varnashram prescribed duties. Veda dukkatmakam kaman. He understands that the sense gratification leads to misery. Do you believe? Yes. I mean, whenever I have pursued sense gratification, eventually misery in some form has always come. Okay. Even though initially there may be some pleasure. If nothing, at least anticipating that this pleasure will end sometime, that misery is there. And after it ends, anticipating the ending of that misery is misery. And when that end for that pleasure comes, there is another misery. So, and the hankering for that pleasure again is another misery. Right? And sometimes you expect a particular, but it under delivers. You expect 100 units of pleasure, it delivers you 80 units, then there is misery. So there is no pleasure. Even though it has delivered 80 units of pleasure, still there is misery because you expected 100. So Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman. Yes, yes. Whenever I pursued sense gratification, eventually it led to misery. Parityage Api Anishwaraha. Still, but even though I understand sense gratification leads to misery, but still I am not always able to say no to sense gratification. Yeah. In fact, if half an hour I engage in bhakti, then I end up engaging 1 hour in sense gratification. So is that enthusiasm for sense gratification an indication that I am qualified for sense gratification? He says, Jushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. Okay, you may enthusiastically pursue sense gratification, but after engaging in sense gratification, do you regret or are you very proud and happy? Of course, regret. So therefore, enthusiasm for sense gratification is coming from our conditioning. Enthusiasm for, if you see that the source of enthusiasm, so for a devotee, for a sadhaka, enthusiasm for bhakti comes from his faith. Okay. Whereas enthusiasm for sense gratification comes from his conditioning. Okay. Therefore, even though he may get big success in sense gratification, a sadhaka at the end feels regret. And even if he gets little success in his pursuit of devotional service, he feels satisfaction. Okay. So therefore, one should not just conclude that you are talking about qualification for karma, qualification for jnana, qualification for bhakti and all that. But I, based on enthusiasm to pursue any of these paths, I would say, Prabhuji, I have most enthusiasm for sense gratification. So therefore, my qualification should be for sense gratification. But my question is, no. Is that enthusiasm for sense gratification coming from your conditioning or is it coming from your faith? And after enthusiastically indulging in sense gratification, do you feel regret or do you feel joy? That is the point. Okay. So as I mentioned, even little success that comes from our little endeavor in bhakti leads to satisfaction for a sadhaka. Whereas even a big success in sense gratification eventually leads to regret and guilt that this is not what I am supposed to dedicate my life for. This is not a parameter of success of my life that way. So these are the classic symptoms of Vaidhi Sadhaka. And Krishna says, look, one of the main reasons why one may lose enthusiasm is when one is not successful in their endeavor for bhakti. So Krishna says, Tato bhajeta mam prita. Don't feel depressed. Don't lose your enthusiasm. Even though you may, in your endeavor to control your senses, you may fail. In your endeavor to enhance your practice of bhakti, you may fail. But don't give up your enthusiasm. Prita, be happy. Don't be dejected. Yogo anirvinna chetasa. Don't become dejected in your performance of devotional service. If success does not come now, it will come later. Or Krishna is not looking at your success. Krishna is looking at your endeavor. If you endeavor sincerely, Krishna is pleased. Right? So this is the qualification for bhakti. Faith. सिद्धिदा. सो देयरफॉर ही सेज दैट somehow or other, by good fortune, that good fortune arises due to Agyata Sukriti, and that Agyata Sukriti arises due to Satam Kripa and Mahat Seva. So by that good fortune, when one develops Shraddha, Shraddha in practicing devotional service, then such a person can attain success in Krishna consciousness, because he has qualification for bhakti. He has that faith. And that faith is characterized by neither the person is too detached from this material world that he does not want to do anything with this material world, like a jnana yogi, nor is he too attached to enjoying everything that he sees in this material world. Okay, that is the symptom of pure devotional faith. Okay, whereas the qualification of karma yoga, the qualification of karma, who is qualified for karma? Teshu anirvinna chittanam karma yogastu kaminam. Whoever has a desire to enjoy in this material world and is convinced that that is the highest goal of life, he is qualified for karma. And who is qualified for jnana? By practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, when a person's heart becomes completely purified of all material vasanas, then he has absolutely no interest in anything of this world. So such a becomes qualified for jnana, nirvit, that is the qualification for jnana. And qualification for bhakti is faith. Faith in bhakti. So therefore, we saw that for those who have attained indifference for material activities but have not yet realized spiritual activities, what can remain in their hearts besides indifference? So for a jnana yogi, anartha nivritti is accomplished, but there is no artha pravritti. There is no positive experience of spirituality. So therefore, the only object of his aspiration is Brahma Jyoti. Okay. And for those who have not attained any indifference for material activities because of lack of spiritual realization, then the only way of cleansing their heart is Karma Yoga. So they are qualified for Karma Yoga. So, but for those who have realized spiritual activities, which means for those who have realized spiritual activities are there, which means devotees, and understood that material activities are insignificant. Veda dukkatmakam kaman. Okay. So such people accept bhakti. Okay. So, and that is described here. And this is what we have discussed. So therefore, enthusiasm comes from an understanding of our qualification. So if we have attained qualification for bhakti, then we will be for spiritual activities, for Krishna conscious activities like that. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. So before we continue today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, we can take. So, okay, there is one question in the chat box. We will take that, and after that, we will take questions from those who have raised their hands. So I will read the chat box question. Mostly because of our conditioning, we are engaged in sense gratification. But we justify saying that we become more enthusiastic after gratifying our senses. How long in the name of regret can this be continued? when we are going to put a full stop to this? Well, I don't know whether I guess by using the word we, you're probably talking about just yourself. So if you say that mostly because of my conditioning, I am engaged in sense gratification, but I justify saying that I become more enthusiastic after gratifying senses. Well, I become more enthusiastic after gratifying my senses. I become enthusiastic for what? For sense gratification or for Krishna consciousness? Well, generally, engagement in Krishna, in non-Krishna conscious activities saps our enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. So, how the name of regret, can this be continued? Well, I don't know. Matlab, if there is genuine regret, then slowly, anartha nivritti will happen. So this is the point. Actually, after sense gratification, our enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness gets sapped. It goes down. So while understanding this, we tend to, a sincere sadhaka tends to have a sense of regret. He does not say that, oh, every time I engaged in sense gratification, my enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness increased. So I will enthusiastically engage in Krishna consciousness so that my enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness increases. This probably is a very perverted understanding. Like that. Okay, there is another question. After succumbing to the allurements of Maya, instead of regretting, I engage in intense devotional service and I take more precautions. Is it fine? I think that is one way of expressing regret. I think that is the way of expressing regret, that ideally I should have engaged more enthusiastically in Krishna conscious activities, but I succumbed. The very use of the word succumb indicates there is unwillingness to engage in that. So otherwise, you would not have used the word succumb. So regret need not mean sitting and crying in a corner of the room. Sitting in a corner of the room and crying. Regret does not necessarily mean that. Regret means understanding that I have made a mistake and trying to actively rectify it. So the very fact that you are trying to actively engage in intense devotional service and take more precautions indicates that you are regretful that you succumbed and you don't wish to succumb. That's why you are taking precautions. So regret does not necessarily mean how many drops of tears flowed from your eyes. That is not necessarily regret. Regret means, active regret means, as you rightly said, precautions. What precautions we take and our enthusiasm to intensely engage in devotional service in order to avoid further succumbing to sense gratification. So therefore, I see that this is the I won't say this is instead of regretting. I don't think this is instead of regretting. This is actually regret, because this is active regret. Like that. That's my understanding. So, Okay, now let's take some questions from the from those who have raised their hands, some verbal questions, and then we will get back to chat box questions. Mother Gail.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I think if you could, I have a question, but I need you to repeat the qualifications of a karma yogi for me, please.
Okay, the qualification for a karma yogi is if he is if he has any experience of enjoyment in this world, he is qualified for karma. And he wishes to pursue it, then he is qualified for karma. Because karma yoga gives you many ways. Do this yajna, do this sacrifice, you can enjoy this. So that way, if a person has any experience of enjoyment in this world and he wishes to pursue that enjoyment further, then such a person is qualified for karma yoga. That's all. Or karma, okay. not exactly karma yoga. Because for karma yoga, then it would additionally mean that he should also be falling within the four varanas. So he must have also taken birth in within varnashram. You know, those prerequisites are there. And he must have performed some samskaras from the birth to fix that varna. So therefore, so for karma, karma yoga, not just an experience of enjoying this material world and a desire to pursue that enjoyment further, that is not a sufficient qualification. But along with that, one must have also taken birth within within the four varnas and must have performed samskaras to fix those varnas. If he has not done that, janmana jayate shudra samskarat tu bhaved dvija. By birth, everyone is a shudra in one sense till samskara is performed. If the samskaras are not performed, then the varna is not fixed. If the varna is not fixed, by default, he will be outside the varnashrama. So in that case, he will not even be qualified for karma.
How should I begin? So, okay, since you just mentioned about fixing one's varna, no ceremony or samskara ceremonies to be done to fix one's varna as a shudra, right? That's just
no.
Is that
that there may be some yeah, there are minimal samskaras for shudras. Yeah, there are very few samskaras for shudras. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so aside from that, this will probably be a repetition of my last week's question, but a karma, see, as soon as we use this word yoga, right?
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that a person who is a karma yogi, you know, jnana yogi, whatever yogi, that person, because to qualify for that term yogi, right, means mm-hmm. that you have seen the pitfalls of material life and are trying to transcend it. So when you say that a karma yogi, you know, wants to pursue material enjoyment, and you know, perform all the activities like that, you know, the ritualistic activities and whatever else in Varnashram, for those fruits, that doesn't sound like a karma yogi. Like I said last week, that sounds like a karma kandi, not a karma yogi. A karma yogi,
no.
To me,
yoga means connection. If he is willing to make a connection with Krishna, if he is willing to worship Krishna to to get the material benefits, then he can still be called a karma yogi.
But then what is the distinction between him and the karmakandi?
Karmakandis may not necessarily worship Krishna. They may worship the demigods.
Okay, yeah, I remember you said that last week also. Okay, and then actually it's interesting that to qualify as a yogi, even if you're connecting with Vishnu or Krishna for one's selfish interests, you still qualify as a yogi simply because you're worshiping the Supreme.
Yeah, because you're making some connection. Uh-huh. Like, for example, is there any relationship between a vendor and a customer? There is it, right? Is there any relation? Yeah, there is a business relationship. You have something, you have a product that I want, and I have the money that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say that there is no relationship, but you certainly cannot call it the relationship between a father and the son.
Yes.
So it's a different type of relationship, but you can't say that there is no relationship because I trust that you can give me what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So which means there is a connection and I will do something to please you so that I can, so that you can give me what pleases me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. And then one other thing on this subject is to qualify as a karma yogi maybe just a karma yogi, not jnana or ashtanga yogi. To qualify specifically as a karma yogi, you have to have gone through some kind of ceremony that fixes your varna. Not your ashram, but your varna.
Varna, yeah.
Okay. So without that, you cannot, you're an outcast. I don't know.
Yeah, very likely.
Mm.
That is why bhakti is our only hope.
But that sounds like most of us here, or all of us probably in the Western world are out, because none of us have gone through this in the United States, Western countries, right? We're all considered outcasts.
Even in India, how many do all the samskaras is highly questionable, actually. Very, very minuscule percentage. You'll be surprised.
Yeah. Okay, Prabhu.
Right.
And then even who are even following, even if they've gone through, right? Maybe if they're not even following.
The samskaras were done, but then subsequent performance, nothing was performed. Like that. Yeah.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Vilasini Radha Mataji.
Yes, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my question is regarding enthusiasm. Actually, I can understand that having enthusiasm, spiritual enthusiasm is a must and very needed for the spiritual progress, but at the same time I'm feeling to have material enthusiasm, like for material activities, for our profession and other things is also needed, but I sometimes feel a little bit built for that. Maybe I lost myself in that enthusiasm, having material enthusiasm, so I'm just feeling is that guilt okay or
well, we have to, devotees have to understand that it's not that some part of the day they are engaged in material activities and some part of the day they are engaged in spiritual activities. For example, profession, to earn money. So to engage in profession to earn money, is it a spiritual activity for a devotee or a material devotee? If you see, it is actually spiritual, because you want to earn that money so that you can worship Krishna, you can take care of yourself, take care of your family, so that peacefully devotional service can continue. So therefore, and in doing that, there may be intermittent succumbing to sense gratification. That may be there. But then definitely with that mode, when one engages in one's occupational duty and remains enthusiastic to pursue it with the right intention, that enthusiasm is not enthusiasm for material activity. That enthusiasm is enthusiasm for spiritual activity. And Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur calls these as secondary limbs of bhakti. The primary limbs are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyamatma, Nivetam. These are primary limbs. But secondary limbs are those limbs which can support the primary limbs. For example, occupation. So occupation, one's own occupational duties, because when we perform that occupation, then we will get the facilities which are needed for properly practicing devotional service, so that that occupation becomes a secondary limb of bhakti. But it becomes a materialistic activity when that secondary limb, when that activity has absolutely no connection with our primary with primary limbs. So that way, so that therefore, if we are doing it in the right intention, and then to have enthusiasm to pursue our occupation, not feel guilty about it. That is a few questions in the chat box more. Okay, let us take those questions. Okay. There is no need for sense gratification, since the senses and sense gratifications are not satiated. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam. There is no end for sense gratification, since the senses and the sense gratification, since the senses are never satiated. So a person who is not disturbed, of course, yeah, they are not satisfied, they are never satiated. That's why they may push the living entity to pursue that sense gratification. And sometimes people may succumb to that push, right? Or many times, depending on how forceful that push is, right? So, yeah, there is no need for sense gratification. There is no end for sense gratification. And a devotee may realize it also, but at the same time may not always be able to stay into that sense gratification. Yeah, Purushottam Prasad Prabhu.
Krishna Babaji, Dandat Pranam. The context that I want to mention in 2.70 is that Krishna clearly defining it. Shantim apnoti nakama kami. So one trying to satisfy the sense or sense gratification is not going to be in peace. Is very clearly defining it.
Correct.
You will get defeated by the senses. That is very correct. Clearly defined.
Correct.
So it's like we're going to a war. You are not going to win the war, whatever arms that you have having protection. You're clearly saying, because it's opposite in the war, this Maya is definitely going to defeat you.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
it's so giving I clear understand. Warning for it. And also, 5.22 is saying the propensity of sense gratification is absence of Krishna. I want to be a enjoyer. I want to be a, you know, the controller, etc., etc., etc. So that is again the symptom of ignorance, which has covered the soul, isn't it, Prabhu?
True. That's the point.
When the soul is in the absence of that knowledge, then immediately it enter into sense gratification. Then the soul, yeah, then again retain that original position that, oh no, I am eternal servitor of Krishna. This is temporary. These senses and body are going to cheat me. So I should carefully control the senses. When the soul established in that knowledge, then 522 applicable. He knows that it's temporary and it's not going to delight me, the soul. Clearly understanding that book. Nateshu Ramate Buddha, isn't it?
Correct. That is true. But of course, that Buddha is not just theoretical understanding.
Ah, beautiful.
Your intelligence is convinced, but your senses and vasanas, there is a huge stockpile of vasanas which are strongly pushing you in that direction. If your intelligence is strong enough to resist that push always. So it's not that everyone who succumbs to sense gratification, it's not that people who take up to tobacco do not know that tobacco causes cancer. It's not that they have not seen cancer patients. They know that.
They're
helpless.
Yes.
So devotees also sometimes helplessly may succumb. And Krishna says that, yes, it is possible, but don't start doubting the process of bhakti and don't lose your determination. With determination, you continue. And when you slip and fall, don't sit and cry. That's what Krishna says.
Beautiful.
Get up and move on.
And as you mentioned, it is theoretically we are convinced, but suddenly when anger comes, it's difficult to control. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. And anger means there is lust.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So because without attachment, there is krodha, kamat, krodho bijayate. Right.
Yeah.
So like that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Prabhu. Thanks for. So it's not enough just knowing the theory or convinced with the theory, but when the test comes, one should be really tolerant enough to overcome that test, isn't it, Prabhu?
Yeah, actually, a part of theory is to understand that at what stage, how much I can apply.
Okay.
Otherwise, it is incomplete understanding of theory also. What to speak of application?
Okay.
So it is incomplete theory. It's the person has not even understood it theoretically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Right.
And otherwise, Arjuna would have not asked these questions. What is that if?
Okay, there is another question in the chat box. How does Krishna see a sadhaka who falls down frequently and trying to come back? Does he hate him? Does he see him same like a karmi? Krishna does not hate even a karmi. Okay, Krishna does not hate anyone. And does he see him same like a karmi? No, he does not. So as Bhagavatam says, Navai jano jatu katanchana brijen mukunda sevi anyavad anga samsritim. Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam Punar Vihatu Michen Narasagrahojana. So where Narada Muni in his instructions to Vyasadeva, he says, if a person takes up to Krishna consciousness and because of his addiction to sense gratification, he gives up Krishna consciousness also. So he says that one should not consider that person to be fallen. He says, no. Because Krishna takes personal responsibility. Till that person has faith in bhakti and he wants to practice bhakti, but due to his terrible addictions, he is not able to practice bhakti. Krishna works extra time to pull that person towards bhakti. He does not let that Krishna. As long as he maintains his faith, Krishna does not let that person leave. Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam Punar. Krishna takes the personal responsibility to continuously remind that person the loving embrace of his lotus feet, which the acharyas explain. It means Krishna tries to remind that person of his wonderful blissful days in Krishna consciousness, and slowly try to pull him back to Krishna consciousness, and Krishna takes that responsibility. And what if he comes back and again leaves due to the strong force of conditioning? Krishna again pulls him back. And if he again leaves, Krishna again pulls him back. And if he again leaves, Krishna will again pull him back. Till when Krishna has more patience than all the living entities put together, he'll keep doing it. Till that person retains that faith that I wish to practice Krishna consciousness. Till that faith is there, Krishna will keep pulling. That is what that verse says. There is another question. Are secondary limbs as potent as primary limbs? Yes, they can be, as long as they are primary limbs are primary. That is why they are called as primary. But if secondary limbs, sometimes someone may perform secondary limbs with much more faith and dedication than another person engaging in primary limbs. So I will give you an example. For example, a brahmachari staying in the temple. For all practical purpose, mostly he does not have to engage in any secondary limb or very except like taking bath. Taking bath is not directly a devotional activity. But if you take bath, you can keep your body disease free, and you can keep your mind stress free, which is all needed for properly practicing devotional service. So except for such activities, you know, he does not have to engage in occupational duties. He does not have to deal much with family members to satisfy them, friends outside Krishna consciousness, nothing. So but at the same time, that brahmachari may not engage in his hearing and chanting with that faith and conviction. Whereas you may see a grihastha who is engaging in hearing and chanting with conviction with whatever little opportunity that he gets, and at the same time he is with the right intent and with right dedication, he is performing his secondary limbs also with very good intention and intensity, then that performance of secondary limbs can be more potent than this brahmachari performing primary limbs, because he is not performing the primary limbs with proper faith, with proper intensity. So yes, and as long as this grihastha is performing the secondary limbs purely for the purpose of enhancing the performance of primary limbs, that secondary limbs become as potent as the primary limb. Another question. Does Krishna remove the enjoyment tendency, or will we have to voluntarily give up? One thing, if we want to give up, Krishna will help for sure. If you are, that is what Anarthanavritti. So Krishna's help comes in the form of Anarthanavritti, and our endeavor informs Krishna that yes, Krishna, I want to give it up, and Krishna assists by the gradual process of Anarthanavritti, like that. Okay, I think we will move on now. We have to start today's discussion. Enough of questions. We will pause again for some discussions after we complete another, maybe a few more slides we'll complete, and then so we have been discussing about qualification. So talking about qualification, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, karma arises from lust. Karma means an act of sense gratification. That is how here karma is defined. An act of sense gratification arises from lust. Jnana arises from indifference. Here means jnana means not literally knowledge. He is not talking about knowledge. Okay. He is talking about jnana yoga. Qualification for jnana yoga. He is talking about qualification for jnana yoga. And his karma means he is talking about qualification for karma yoga. Okay. So qualification for jnana yoga arises from indifference. When one becomes completely indifferent to this material world, then that is the qualification for jnana yoga. And bhakti arises from faith in the Supreme Lord. So this sentence talks about qualification for karma, jnana and bhakti. So the person who has attained faith is naturally dusted with material activity. Is to immediately give up also. Okay. Disgusted means he knows that this is not right. He knows that it is not right, even though he is not able to give it up immediately. He accepts without attachment only those activities that are favorable for increasing his faith in the Lord. So such a devotee accepts only those activities that are favorable for increasing his faith in the Lord. Anukulyasya sankalpo. Without the material body, one cannot cultivate devotional service. Okay. So this is the point. Okay. Should I feel guilty if I have enthusiasm for doing my occupational duty? Yeah, or if I have enthusiasm to take care of my body, should I feel guilty about it? Here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, without the material body, one cannot cultivate devotional service. So, there is no benefit if one renounces the activities that are needed to maintain the physical body, thinking them to be the source of misery and lust. Oh, this body is just a source of misery and lust, so I should not do anything to take care of it. If one thinks like that, this is not right. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, there is no benefit in this kind of thought process. The fruits of those activities, which are the source of misery for others, are therefore enjoyed by the devotees who condemn them as insignificant. Which are the source of misery for others are enjoyed by the devotees who condemn them as insignificant. Okay. So when someone takes care of his body and he gets a healthy body by which he can engage in a lot of sense gratification, that sense gratification becomes the source of misery for that person. Whereas a devotee who takes care of his body so that he can engage in devotional service, that becomes a source of joy for the devotee. Because when he engages in Krishna's service with that healthy body, then Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, then when Krishna is pleased, then we attain our goal of life. Right? So they worship Krishna with devotion and firm faith while enjoying the fruits of their work as they fulfill the necessities of life. So in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu Shila, Rupa Goswami says, the first two benefits of practicing bhakti, okay, are Kleshagni and Shubhada. Okay, Kleshagni and Shubhada. So Kleshagni means destruction of suffering. And Shubhada means bestowal of auspiciousness. Okay. So, auspiciousness, there are many types. One is bestowal of happiness. Okay. So, when one practices bhakti, practice of bhakti at the end gives one Krishna prem, but before that one also experiences, even while at the stage of anarthana vritti, one can still experience destruction of suffering and manifestation of happiness, which is due to bhakti, due to practice of bhakti. Okay. So in this way, they get the fruits. This is a fruit of their bhakti. Bhakti bestows them. Okay. Those who enjoy the results of material activities with ardent affection are called attached. Okay. So what is the definition of a person who is an attached karmi? Attached means here it refers to karmi. Who is a karmi? A karmi is one who enjoys the results of his material activities with ardent affection. Okay. So for a karmi, there is affection for material enjoyment. Okay. Whereas a devotee, he has affection for Krishna, but due to conditioning may succumb to material enjoyment. So a devotee, due to his conditioning, has succumbed to material enjoyment, but he has affection for Krishna. Whereas a karmi, he has affection for material enjoyment. So those who neglect the results of karma, but accept only what is favorable for devotional service, are called unattached. Okay. So this is a devotee. So a devotee, he does not want to perform the activities of karma to get the material benefits. So he does not want to accept all of that. So he just wants to accept whatever is favorable for devotional service. He is called unattached. Although they are unattached to material activity, they work enthusiastically in devotional life. So they are unattached to material activity. So unattached to material activity does not mean they don't do it. Okay. It means they do it with detachment. Whatever is needed, they will do the bare minimum that is needed to keep their body and soul together. But they will enthusiastically engage in devotional activities. So the process of advancement for the practitioner of devotional service is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20, 29 to 30 and 35 as follows. 29, 30, 35. Three verses. Okay. So this is the process of advancement for the sadhaka. Okay. This is the process for the sadhaka. Okay. Proktena bhakti yogena bhajato masakrin munehe kama hridaya nashyanti sarve mayi hridisthite. So he says, munehe, when an intelligent person, masakrit bhajataha, when he engages constantly in worshipping me, bhakti yogena, through bhakti, proktena, as previously described by me, sarve kama hridaya nashyanti, all material desires within the heart are destroyed. Mayi hridisthite, because I am situated in the heart of that devotee. So, masakrit bhajataha. When an intelligent person engages constantly in worshipping Krishna through bhakti, then even though there may be material desires in his heart through in the form of anarthas, but Krishna says, I will take responsibility to destroy all those material desires from within the heart. So then what happens? Vidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sarva samshayaha kshiyante chasya karmani mayi drishte akhilatmani. The ahankara is cut and all the doubts are destroyed. Chidyante sarva samshaya, whether I will progress or not, whether I will achieve perfection or not, am I on the right path or not. Chidyante sarva samshaya, all these doubts will be destroyed. Mayi drishte akhilatmani, on seeing the Lord in the mind with the achievement of success. Shiyante cha asya karmani, all the karmas are destroyed. Here karmas refers to karma vasana. Because for a devotee, the moment he accepts the path of bhakti, karma is destroyed. Karma is destroyed. Karma as in karmic reactions are destroyed for devotees right from the time he accepts bhakti. So, but when he reaches bhava, the stage of bhava only, the karma vasanas are destroyed. The desire to enjoy in this material world, the desire to enjoy various objects of this material world, that is completely destroyed only at the stage of bhava. So the word kshiyante chasya karmani, so karmani here refers to karma vasana, not karma reaction. Then he says, nairapekshyam paramprahur nishreyasam analpakam tasma nirashisho bhaktir nirapekshasya me bhavet. It is said that the process which is without dependence on other processes or results is the best process. Therefore, a person who does not desire any rewards and does not depend on other processes develops bhakti for me. Okay. So, real bhakti means what? That in which, what does it mean? Nirashishaha. Nirashishaha means anyabilashita shunyam. And nirapekshasya means does not depend on other processes. Adhyanavritam. He develops bhakti for me means, here bhakti refers to uttama bhakti. So what is uttama bhakti? Where the practicing devotee or the perfected devotee does not practice that bhakti for attaining any other result other than pleasure of Krishna. Okay. And that practice is nirapekshasya. That practice is not dependent on karma, jnana, yoga, nothing. There is no dependence on any other process. There is dependence only on the path of bhakti. So, like that. So, the purport is this. What is the purport? It is useless trying independently to destroy ignorance and lust in the heart, which means separate enthusiastic endeavor for anartha nivritti through jnana, vairagya, yoga, etc. is not at all needed. One should not make enthusiastic endeavor for anartha nivritti through the other processes, through the process of jnana, vairagya, yoga, etc. is not at all needed. But is all doubts and material bondage are destroyed by the mercy of the Lord in the course of cultivating devotional service. Therefore, enthusiasm should be there only for devotional service and nothing else. The endeavor of karmis and jnanis do not yield such results. Karmis and jnanis may endeavor very strongly, but it will not yield such results. Therefore, when one becomes neutral by giving up other desires and hopes, he attains pure devotional service for Krishna. Neutral means what? No enthusiasm for the goals of karma, jnana, and yoga, or bhukti, mukti, and siddhi. Okay. So, therefore, when one becomes neutral by giving up other desires and hopes, he attains pure devotional service to Krishna. We should not lose enthusiasm because we have no strength to destroy the reactions of karma. We should not lose enthusiasm because what strength do I have to destroy the reactions of my karma? And if my reactions to karma will not be destroyed, then what can I do? You know, why should I be enthusiastic? One should not think like that. So he says, in the very beginning of devotional service, the sadhaka must have faith with full enthusiasm. Okay, full enthusiasm. Full enthusiasm means what? Full enthusiasm means enthusiasm only in bhakti. Because one may ask, in the beginning of devotional service, how one can have full enthusiasm? So what here it means full enthusiasm only in bhakti. Okay, so that full enthusiasm may be full enthusiasm only in bhakti means it should not be 50% enthusiasm in bhakti and 50% enthusiasm in the process of jnana. No. Full enthusiasm should be only in bhakti. That full enthusiasm can be only 5 units of enthusiasm. Okay. Or it may be 50 units of enthusiasm. Or it may be 500 units of enthusiasm. But whatever it is, but enthusiasm should be only for bhakti. And enthusiasm should not be mixed. That's the meaning of full enthusiasm. For a beginner, he has weak enthusiasm, but full enthusiasm only in bhakti. For someone who has spent some time, he has medium enthusiasm, but medium enthusiasm only in bhakti. And for one who is very advanced, he has full enthusiasm, or he has great enthusiasm, but great enthusiasm only in bhakti. So the use of the word full along with full enthusiasm along with beginning of devotional service may sound like an oxymoron, may sound contradictory. How can there be full enthusiasm at the beginning of devotional service? It means, here full enthusiasm means whatever enthusiasm you have, it is only for the process of bhakti. There is no split enthusiasm, some for bhakti, some for karma, some for jnana, some for yoga, not like that. There may be low enthusiasm, but that low enthusiasm should be only for bhakti. Which means one does not think that along with bhakti, I need to practice any other process. to achieve perfection in my spiritual life. Okay. So therefore, here Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in the very beginning of devotional service, the sadhaka must have faith with full enthusiasm, which means he must have faith with only enthusiasm in bhakti, and he must not have faith in any other process. Pure faith, he starts. So full enthusiasm means pure faith. That's what he's talking about. Pure faith only in bhakti and not in any other process. So, okay, let me just check. Okay, how much time do we have? We have about 26 minutes and how many slides? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7. Okay, I think we can. To complete this, you please write down your questions and or let me pause here. Let me pause here because, and then we will take some discussion points if there are any, and then I will move forward. Okay, if there are any quick discussion points, questions, comments, you can please share, ask, add. Yes, Mother Gabe.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes.
The two out of the six, I think, I don't know if I should say benefits of performing bhakti yoga, you mentioned as being the destruction of suffering and auspiciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So this auspiciousness category has always been very fuzzy for me. I don't know if you finished discussing the auspiciousness category, but if okay. So, if I could have a better understanding of this auspiciousness, does it include this full enthusiasm in bhakti yoga? Is that part of the auspiciousness, or is it something separate?
That is a prerequisite for that.
Oh.
Full enthusiasm means full faith. That mm-hmm. full faith can be weak. So, mm-hmm. so there is what I am trying to indicate here is there is a difference between purity of faith or enthusiasm. Okay.
Yeah.
And there is strength of faith and enthusiasm. So here, when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it full enthusiasm, he is talking about purity. It should be pure. Whatever enthusiasm you have should be enthusiasm only for bhakti. So you may say, but it may not be very strong. But one may say, hey, if it is pure, then it should be strong also. Why is it not strong? So if it is pure, then why is it not strong? One of the reasons is conditionings. So our faith is pure, but our heart is not pure yet. Our heart is filled with past experiences of material enjoyment, which I am not able to dump off at one shot. So that will remain, and it will stunt my progress for a while. So there is a difference between purity of faith and strength of faith. So when he is talking here about full enthusiasm, therefore you are asking that auspiciousness is full enthusiasm a byproduct of that auspiciousness of practice of bhakti? So my point is, no, it's a prerequisite. It's a prerequisite. Your enthusiasm should be fully only for bhakti.
So therefore, have you, I guess,
then
not...
That as a byproduct of that is Shubhada, bestowal of auspicious. I cannot hear you, Mataji. Are you speaking?
No, there was some interruption in the transmission, I think. Yeah, I was only asking that, have you not yet then really started to explain auspiciousness? I'm not sure if I'm missing something or not. That's the point.
Yeah, I didn't go into detail describing it, but I can explain. Because you have
okay.
asked, I will just briefly touch on that topic.
Yes, I would like to understand
how does
this auspiciousness, you know, what is meant by auspiciousness? Yeah.
Okay. So Srila Rupa Goswami says, he defines auspiciousness in four ways, four aspects. Auspiciousness. First, he calls as Sadgunadi Pradaspam. Means bestowal of all good qualities. Okay. One becomes endowed with all good qualities like humility, tolerance, generosity, compassion, all these good qualities are bestowed in that person gradually to the extent that he progresses on the path of devotion service. So that is one aspect of auspiciousness. Second aspect of auspiciousness is Jagat Preenanam. So Jagat Preenanam means he becomes very attractive to all living entities. Okay. The third aspect of auspiciousness is Sarva Jagatam Anuraktata. So Sarva Jagatam Anuraktata means he develops compassion.
Compassion?
Towards compassion. Towards all. What
wasn't that the first one? Part of all good
okay.
qualities.
Yeah. So Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this. Well, you quoted it bestows practice of bhakti bestows all good qualities. Now, compassion to all living entities and being attractive to all living entities, isn't that covered in the first point? So Srila Jiva Goswami says, yes, it is covered. But still, because these two are the crest jewel of all the qualities, therefore they are separately mentioned. Because these two qualities are the crest jewel of all the qualities, they are separately mentioned. So you may say that the whole kingdom came to watch the exhibition, let's say. The whole kingdom came to watch the exhibition and the king also came. So now one may say, oh, the kingdom includes the king. Why do you have to separately tell him? Or you can say that all the citizens of that kingdom came to watch the exhibition and the king also came. What do you mean? All the citizens of the country includes the king also. The king is also a citizen. Why do you have to separately mention? yes, in one sense, there is no need, but the king is no ordinary citizen. The king is the most important citizen of that country. So therefore, there has to be a specific mention. So therefore, even though to say bhakti bestows all good qualities, then one need not separately specify that by practice of bhakti, one develops great compassion to all living entities. But because compassion being the crest jewel of all the other good qualities, therefore a separate mention is made. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes. Because you said because compassion is... what did you say about compassion? Because it is what? So
it is the topmost of all the other good qualities.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because it makes... because it's the crest jewel of all the best qualities, even in Krishna.
Yes.
Krishna mm-hmm. is most beautiful. He is most opulent. He is most intelligent and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I may admire Krishna for all that. But it is his compassion which will make me love him.
Mm-hmm.
His compassion which is allowing him to share all those qualities with me. Right, so compassion makes all those other qualities relevant for me, relevant for the living entity. So therefore, the compassion becomes the crest jewel, the most important of all the other good qualities. Is that relevant, Madhuri?
Yes.
So then, the fourth aspect of auspiciousness is sukha pradatvam. So, sukha pradatvam means bestowal of happiness. Okay. Now, someone may ask, what happiness? Material or spiritual? So, he says, to begin with, it is material. So, he says, three levels of happiness that is bestowed by practice of bhakti. First, he says, vaishayikam. Okay. Then he says, Brahmam. Then the third category he says is Aishwaram. What is the difference? Vaishayikam means material happiness. Okay. Or happiness on the cause of that happiness is bhakti, which is spiritual, but the happiness that we experience is through our material senses only. So this is Till Nishta. Okay. The level of happiness that we experience is the level of happiness that is available within this material world. Then once we cross Nishta, you know, Ruchi, Asakti, at these kind of stages, we bliss which is equal to liberation. You know, impersonal liberation. At that level, whatever bliss is experienced at the level of impersonal liberation that one experiences at the stage of Ruchi, Asakti, etc. Then Aishwaram means at the stage of Bhava and Prema. Okay. This is the bliss of personal relationship with Krishna. With Krishna. Okay, so all these three levels of happiness. So what is auspiciousness? Srila Rupa Goswami divides it into four categories. These are the four aspects of auspiciousness, prominent aspects. There may be other subdivisions or other that may be there, but prominently auspiciousness means these four aspects. That's how Srila Rupa Goswami explained. Is that okay?
So there was the material happiness. Even though the cause is our spiritual practices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It bestows material happiness. We call it material because it's happiness that's experienced through our material body.
Yeah.
And then the happiness of liberation, which I think you call here Brahman. What did you say?
Brahman.
Brahman.
Yeah.
Oh, Brahman.
Yeah.
Okay, Brahman is
the happiness of the experience that you are not your body, I guess.
No, not that sense. I said that the intensity of bliss that is experienced through liberation, where there is absolute...
I mean, doesn't liberation mean...
experience of material misery. That level of bliss, he does not become liberated. He does not merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. But the intensity of bliss that is experienced by one who would achieve impersonal liberation, that level of bliss is experienced even at the level of sadhana. But higher levels of sadhana, like ruchi, asakti, like that, one experience that level of bliss. That is what it means.
Oh, so is happiness as if the happiness of liberation, even though you haven't been actually liberated yet?
Yeah.
Okay, and then Aishwaryam.
Aishwaram is the bliss of experiencing a personal relationship with Krishna. That's still higher, more sweeter, condensed levels of bliss.
Okay.
So the point is, happiness is there right from the beginning of devotional service, due to practice of devotional service, but the intensity keeps increasing more and more as we progress on the path of devotion. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, Prabhu. Yeah.
Hare
Thank you so much. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So, let us continue now. So, here we have been discussing further discussion points. Let's continue. So we have been discussing about in the very beginning of devotional service, the sadhaka must have faith with full enthusiasm. We were discussing what is full enthusiasm. Full enthusiasm means enthusiasm only in bhakti. There is no enthusiasm for performing karma. There is no enthusiasm for performing activities of jnana. There is no enthusiasm for performing activities on the path of yoga. There is enthusiasm only in the path of bhakti. Okay. So, but there may be some enthusiasm, as we discussed before, enthusiasm born out of our conditioning. But that enthusiasm will be accompanied by regret, because our faith is opposing that kind of enthusiasm. Like that. So, here, one pure Vaishnava Acharya has written that the process of bhajana kriya, devotional practice, is of two types, nishtita, fixed, and anishtita, flickering. So this pure Vaishnava Acharya is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. It's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. So, with faith, one should learn devotional service under the merciful direction of a sadhu. And when he attains the stage of firm faith, he engages in nishtita, fixed devotion. Okay. So, first is unsteady devotional service. And followed by that is steady devotional service. And in between is anartha nivritti. So what we call bhajana kriya is anishtita bhajana kriya. And nishtita bhajana kriya is called as nishta. And between Anishtita Bhajana Kriya and Nishtita Bhajana Kriya is Anarthana Vritti. In fact, it is the destruction of these anarthas which is leading to steady practice of devotional service. So until he attains this fixed devotional service, his service remains flickering. So until he attains fixed devotional service, his service remains flickering. Okay. So, in this stage of devotional service, there are six symptoms. Actually, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur calls them six symptoms, and they are more or less six stages also. But these stages are not very distinct. They are overlapping stages. Okay. They are overlapping stages. So this is called as Utsahamayi, false confidence, Ghana Tarala, sporadic endeavor, Vyuda Vikalpa, decision, Vishaya Sangara, struggle with the senses, Niyamakshama, inability to uphold vows, and Tarangarangi, enjoying the facilities offered by bhakti. Okay. So, so here, anyway, so why is he talking about until he attains fixed devotional service, his service remains flickering? In this stage of devotional service, there are six symptoms. Okay. Anyway, I will come back to this. You know, we are reading it once. We will again revisit it. Okay. And then I will elaborate on these six stages further. Okay. In Sri Haribhakti Vilas, carelessness is counted amongst the offenses against the holy name. This is the 11th offense, right? It is also enough to be inattentive while chanting. In that scripture, the word pramada is described as inattentiveness. Okay. Sri Harinama Chintamani has further divided this inattentiveness in three ways. Apathy, inactivity, and distraction are the three types of inattentiveness. Until one gets free from these three types of inattentiveness, one cannot perform devotional service at all. So here he says, in order to there should be no inattentiveness. Okay. And inattentiveness is of three types. Okay, so therefore, unless one consciously tries to overcome these three types of inattention, it is not possible to endeavor with enthusiasm. Okay, so therefore, he says, even if one gives up all other namaparagas, if he is still inattentive, he can never have attraction for the holy names. Okay. So, okay. What I will do is, we discuss next week what we will discuss is, we will discuss on this theme of two things. One is you know, while we are at the stage of anishtita bhajana kriya, unsteady devotional service, that is when we may lose our enthusiasm. But it is very important that we should understand that sadhakas will generally go through these stages of anishtita bhajana kriya or unsteady devotional service. So what is this unsteady devotional service and how does it look like? Next week when we meet, we will discuss from Madhurya Kadambini. Okay, in Madhurya Kadambini, he discusses about the six stages, which are generally overlapping stages of unsteady devotional service. And later he also talks about carelessness or inattentiveness. So how inattention is an indication of lack of enthusiasm. So if we address inattentiveness, then we can progress with enthusiasm. So we will also try to discuss from Harinam Chintamani how we can overcome this 11th offense of inattentiveness in chanting or in performing any of our devotional limbs. So this is what we will try to do next week when we come together. Okay, one devotee has requested me to summarize what we have seen today. So I will quickly try to summarize. So today we started discussing from this topic of enthusiasm. In enthusiasm, we were discussing, we feel enthusiastic towards those processes for which we feel we are qualified for. Okay. So therefore, we saw the symptoms, what is the qualification for bhakti, what is the qualification for karma, what is the qualification for jnana, like that. And then we also discussed that a devotee accepts as favorable whatever is needed to increase his faith in the Lord without becoming part of those activities. Okay. And one should not say that a devotee should not body and mind, because he needs his body and mind to practice Krishna consciousness. Okay. But he may not be enthusiastic to enjoy the fruits of a healthy body, because a healthy body gives ample opportunity for unlimited sense gratification. He does not want to enjoy all those things. Okay. So even though by practice of bhakti, one does get destruction of material suffering, and also one starts becoming more and more happy, and one gets auspiciousness, but one does not get attracted and attached to those things. We saw that a devotee has affection for Krishna, even though he may succumb to material enjoyment due to his conditioning, whereas a materialistic person has affection for material enjoyment and not for Krishna. Okay. So, so although they are unattached to material activity, they work enthusiastically in devotional life. So there is enthusiasm for devotional life. Therefore, one understands what is the process of advancement in Krishna consciousness. So for which he quoted, verses from the 11th canto, that how, enthusiasm should be there only for Krishna consciousness. When enthusiasm is there for Krishna consciousness, automatically the anarthas within the heart, which are stunting our progress, will be destroyed by Krishna. And then we will come to the stage of bhava and prema, like that. But so our, so therefore we should be careful that we don't allow other goals to enter our practice, anya bilashita shunyam, and we should not allow the process of karma, jnana or yoga to contaminate our process of bhakti. Okay. So, and then finally he said that there should not be any separate enthusiastic endeavor for anarthana vritti through karma, jnana, yoga, vairagya, etc. It is not at all needed. And enthusiasm should be there only for devotional service. So, like that. So, therefore, we should be enthusiastic to protect the purity of our faith. And then later he speaks about, you know, how during unsteady devotional service we may lose enthusiasm, but we should understand that we will gradually progress and overcome it. And later he talks about inattention as the cause of lack of enthusiasm. So we told that in our next session, we will discuss about the various stages of unsteady devotional service, because an understanding of this will help protect our enthusiasm. And also we will discuss from Harinam Chintamani next week how we can overcome inattentive chanting and inattentive practice of devotional service. Okay, so we will pause here. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur ki jai. Shri Bhaktialoka ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.